Welcome to Take It From Us with host Kent Johns. Real people, real voices, real lives. Discussing mental health, addiction, and disability in the community. Your weekly window to the real world. Welcome to Take It From Us.
Teen vaping in New Zealand has been described by many health experts as an epidemic. What began as a tool to help people to stop smoking has quickly spread to attract young people to vape. Flash names, delicious flavours, alluring colours and smells are making it all too easy for teens to become addicted to the nicotine present in vapes. Today we're chatting with Anna Stewart, a mum from Christchurch and the co-founder of Vape Free Kids NZ. It's a grassroots group she helped launch in 2023 after seeing the impact of vaping on her own family. Since then, Anna has become a key voice in raising awareness about youth vaping. Her work focuses on supporting families, educating communities, and calling for stronger rules to help protect young people from nicotine addiction. Anna, thank you very much for joining us on Take It From Us. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
What is it that is top of mind for you right now when it comes to the topic of vaping?
Look, I think it's the ongoing risk to young people. Obviously, there's risks to any user of a product that hasn't had robust testing and, I guess, scientific evidence to talk about the risks. But predominantly, and particularly for myself, from my own experience, it's the risk of the young people that are picking it up as a habit, who have never smoked cigarettes or have never had any other nicotine addictions, who have now become fully embroiled in the most challenging years of their life and arguably of, you know, of any person's life is their teenage years, getting heavily addicted to products that they can keep fairly discreet, they can use in their own time in bed. It's very hard to distinguish compared to cigarettes. Back in my day, you could smell like cigarettes for a few hours afterwards, where with a vape, that's a lot more simple to conceal even within a classroom. So really it's the health impacts, and not only that, but the developmental impacts on young people, because it isn't just about the addiction, it's the behaviours that come with addiction that children are learning very young now as a result of vapes.
Yeah, you're right it too, but when we were younger, if you had a cigarette, you'd be throwing on the Impulse or the Lynx spray to try and camouflage, mask that pungent odour so that your parents wouldn't find out. It's obviously not the case with the vaping.
No, it's a lot easier to conceal. It almost does smell like those deodorant products. You know, the smell can be very similar. You get all of those fruit flavours or, you know, popcorn and candy floss flavours. They're much easier to conceal in that respect.
Have you given thought to that argument, which I've heard before, that, well, it's a better off option, it's a safer option, wouldn't you rather them be vaping than smoking?
We don't actually know how much safer it is. We certainly know that neither of them are safe by themselves. And again, it isn't just the impact of the addiction or the impact on the lungs. There's lots of other side effects. And I think that argument has been used very widely by the tobacco industry. And it becomes really concerning when you hear that coming out in political circles as well, because you do have to wonder when the narrative becomes the same, where that influence has managed to get into. And I think, look, again, our group is set up by parents. We're not medical experts. We rely on the advice of medical experts. And all of them have said that there are some very significant risks around vaping. Traditionally, cigarettes can take a lot longer to present and side effects with smokers, whereas people who have had a health incident from vaping, it can happen within a matter of months. So that some of the situations that occur with collapsed lungs or lung damage, you don't need to wait until it becomes a cancerous issue for there to be significant potential health impacts. And there's more and more examples coming out now as people have been vapers for longer periods of time where it has actually caused deaths in otherwise healthy adults. So we just don't know. And I guess that's the biggest risk. It concerns us deeply that there are young people that are basically being part of the experiment to see what could go wrong. And, you know, you could argue that for 30 or so years, we didn't know what the risks of smoking were until it was too late and that many people had cancer. And if you had asked, could you go back in time, if you would you have outlawed them back then, knowing what you know now? That it'd be a shame to repeat that mistake with vape products when we really don't know the potential true harm.
Yeah, we don't know yet, do we? Because it's only been now that these products have only been around for a relatively short period of time, so not all of the research is in. Although I have heard some scientists suggest vaping might actually be more dangerous.
And some of
the lungs.
Yeah, that's right. And look, a lot of people will use both. I even have colleagues that will partake in both, which actually doubles their risks. They have different types of risk, and so the exposure is still very much there. Some of the nicotine products that are coming out now are more like pouches that you can sit in your cheek and in your gums, and they also have further risks around gum cancers and what have you. So there's evidence now of cellular damage as a result of these nicotine products. So there's a lot more evidence that we really need to unpack before we can say to what extent this might be safer or there's, you know, significantly lower risk. But when you're looking at young people who have otherwise got no addictions, to pick up a product now that has no other benefits except for a small head rush, it's just not worth it.
Teen vaping in Aotearoa has been described by some as an epidemic. It's the problem has become that big. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. And it's an epidemic that's grown completely unnecessarily. And it's, if you look back as to how it began, it really was through a bit of naivety around a product that was potentially there to help smokers quit. But when it was being sold by companies that were looking to shift their customer base from smokers to vapers, you really have to question the intent around, was it really meant as a quit smoking device? The way it's been marketed, there's influencers now for vape products online. All of the social media feeds are full of people recommending these products. And we've seen it in schools. You know, there are schools now that will need to install vape sensors in toilets, simply that the children who don't vape can go in there and use the toilets without being pushed out of stalls where young people are occupying them to vape instead. So for a while there was young people who were coming home from school with bladder infections because they couldn't get to a toilet because there was that many young people in there vaping. And again, it's a very hard thing for a school to manage and monitor. We've heard stories of as much as, 50% of a class being regular vapers and children selling vapes in school toilets. My own son would have said that at least 75% of the kids in his class in year nine had it, if not tried, would regularly use a vape product.
So tell us about your own personal experience, if you wish. Tell us as much or as little as you would like as to what led you to get involved with founding Vape Free Kids NZ.
Sure. So look, we were a smoke-free family. We would call ourselves pretty traditional. We never had any trouble with our children. We had raised two older kids who got into their sort of 20s with no issues. So we found out that our 14-year-old son had having to be steal money effectively to fund a vaping habit that he had carried on his own for over a year. We were completely shocked. We had no idea that that's what had happened. He told us that he'd been buying vapes, flavoured vapes from the local dairy up the road. It's just along the same street from his high school. And that he had tried to quit by himself multiple times because he knew how we'd feel about it. He knew we'd be disappointed, and he'd been coping with it on his own. So for me, I was, deeply shocked and angry that someone would have sold vapes to my son, probably in his school uniform most of the time. So I jumped in my car and drove down the road and confronted the dairy owner and said, look, you've been selling to my child. How can you conscience this? He vehemently denied it. He showed me the plain variety of vapes that he had on display that he was legally allowed to sell and was adamant that he had never sold fruity flavours. I started second guess myself, as you think you're a teenager, maybe they're not telling me the truth. But I came home and confronted him again. He said, no, he has them in a box out the back. He will make you pay cash when there's nobody else in the store. He has a list of children that he will sell to so that he can avoid controlled purchase operations by the smoke-free enforcement officers, and that's how he'd been buying them. And so I went back and again confronted the fellow and said, look, I don't actually believe you and I'm not going to rest now until I bring you to account for this because you're causing significant harm to my own family and no doubt many others. So it was around that point that I managed to connect online with a few other mothers who were coming at it from different angles. Some of them, their children were a bit younger. One of the other mothers had a child that vaped as a teenager as well. And it ended up that we formed a Facebook group called Vape Free Kids, mostly to talk about the issue, to understand how bad it was, to provide a place of support for families that were grappling with this, because it was a big issue in terms of being able to speak about. There's a lot of shame and a lot of judgment that will come. You know, why aren't you raising your child right? Just discipline them, take it away, stop giving them money. A lot of people didn't understand how difficult it was because these products are so cheap. It's very easy to buy them. It's very easy to share them at schools. It's almost impossible to stop your teenager getting access to these products. So we set up this group. We managed to get quite quickly up to about 2,000 members. We started a couple of petitions where we campaigned quite actively against changing the legislation that would actually make it more difficult for these stores to be selling to young people. Obviously, there's a lot of people that rely on vapes to quit smoking, and some will say that works for them. And we have certainly been very vocal about not being anti-vape, but rather calling for stronger legislation to actually protect young people from this until they're old enough to make adult and informed decisions. So these petitions gathered around 13,500 signatures, which we presented to Parliament. And really opened up that conversation. So around this time, we managed to get a lot of public interest. There were a lot of parents waking up to the fact that their child was vaping as well. So it really did help get the message out there, and we would have a lot of campaigns highlighting what we had found about vapes and some of the risks that were coming through. And what we found through this process, it's been about 2 years that this group has kind of been running pretty much from a WhatsApp chat group. You know, there's a lot of people that will be surprised how little we actually have in terms of resources. We're not a big charity or organisation. We're just literally this group of mothers who were really outraged with the way vaping has exploded in New Zealand and wanted to get up and speak about it and not let it go past. In part because we know how harmful it's been, but also because we think there are thousands more children that need to be protected from this issue. So what we're doing is really kind of holding the government to account. There's been lots of changes since the election, since the coalition has come in, that has really opened the gates even further around nicotine products. And we're deeply concerned about those. So we're continuing to campaign for tighter controls. You know, there's more than 11,000 vape stores in New Zealand. Now, arguably, you would say that's far too many. I think there are 900 pharmacies in which the entire population can get all of our prescription medications without any shortfall. We think that should be more than enough vape stores to supply those that genuinely wish to use them to quit smoking, that it doesn't need to be a commercial enterprise.
I think the government's move to ban disposable vapes later this year in June, but pod-based vape systems will stay. And things like, one example is that blueberry cheesecake will no longer be allowed to be, but blueberry is okay. So are they big changes? Are they big concessions? Or is it paying lip service to the real problem and that the industry still will ensure that their products are getting out there?
That's right. Look, it does seem like lip service. Even with some of the proposed changes that have been talked about, i.e. the change in names, there are still combinations. You can still have that name on the package somewhere. So they've found a lot of workarounds. So you're right, when we're talking about these pod devices being different to disposables, the price point isn't changing. And I guess that was the key driver around getting rid of disposables. Apart from the obvious environmental impact, the price isn't changing. And what we're finding is every time the legislation does change, all of the retailers, there's around 200 online retailers that you can buy from in New Zealand. They will basically dump all of their products at fractional prices. So they'll have a 70% off sale or buy two, get three free, where it effectively becomes the same. You're not dealing with the issue by identifying vapes, disposable ones, as the problem. So really it is more around what other measures can you put in place, i.e. how cheap does it need to be for a smoker? When you're comparing it to a packet of cigarettes that's around $50 now, is $20 more reasonable for a product? You need to have a minimum price to get it out of that pocket money price bracket. Because right now you can jump online, with a Prezi card and you can buy a vape for $5 and have it delivered to your home, you know, for $10. So there's plenty of ways that young people can get around and still buy products that will meet the new criteria illegally.
Yeah, well, the more I think about this and from the way that you're so eloquently describing this issue, vaping's now more like alcohol than it is tobacco in the fact that it's really cheap comparatively to other products. It's easily accessible. We've got an oversaturated market when it comes to supply, and it's marketed to kids. And you talk to any health professional about the problems we have in New Zealand with alcohol, and they'll all tell you the same three things. It's too cheap, it's too accessible, and the marketing's way out of control. The same thing you could argue here for vaping.
Exactly. And you'll see, looking at different demographics or different areas and populations, you'll find the highest proportion of vape stores in those lower decile areas. There's a huge percentage of them that are close to schools. I think in city areas, at least 45% of them are near a school or a marae. So, you know, within that 300 metre. So all of the changes that have really come in have landed too late. The government did move to try and have them further away from schools, but they didn't change the ones that were already there. They didn't revisit all of existing applications. You know, we were really hopeful with the change of government. Both Labor and National were saying that they would reduce the number of vape stores and cigarette stores to 600. So that would have had a significant difference when it comes to the enforcement of these stores, because at the moment it's a numbers game. And I think that the industry realises that it's almost impossible to adequately enforce the number of vape stores that we see in New Zealand at the moment. And so it's very easy to get away with selling vapes to children, even in school uniforms, because the odds of someone catching you is so low that it's actually worth the risk. And we've seen that in Christchurch, where I live. There was one store that was very, very widely known for selling to young people. They would sell single cigarettes. They would sell vapes all hours of the day and night. And they would have sold thousands before they were finally prosecuted. And when they were, he simply fled the country and avoided prosecution. So there hasn't been any other significant prosecutions that have really addressed where the stores have been able to do it so readily for so long.
As it stands now, how young do you have to be, and do you have to have proof of identity to buy some vaping products?
Yeah, so there's two different types of stores. You can purchase them from what's called a specialty vape store or an SVR. Now, you need to be over 18 even to enter those premises. They're meant to be asking you for ID, just like alcohol, if you look under 25. Or you can purchase them from your supermarkets, your dairies, other sort of more general retailers. But they're only permitted to sell the three plain flavours, so the tobacco, menthol and plain. And so, typically speaking, the enforcement has been very, very minimal. There's only, if you think about the number of offices, I think there's two for all of Canterbury. So in the hundreds of vape stores that we have in Canterbury, there are only two offices who also look after a lot of alcohol products as well. So vaping and cigarettes isn't the only area that they have to cover. So it's almost impossible to adequately say you can and correctly enforce all of the different stores that are selling these products. And as you know, that many of them will have those clear glass front windows where you can see inside to the store. There was one down here that had a poster of Rick and Morty hanging in the window, you know, obviously targeting young people. And there was no one around to actually enforce the regulations around not being able to advertise to the street or not being able to indicate, you know, what kind of products were available inside.
Mm. Did your son battle nicotine addiction?
He has battled it. And what we've found, it wasn't even so much the nicotine addiction. It's the addictive behaviours that come. We never had a single issue with him with respect to stealing up until the time that he became nicotine addicted. And we saw it become a pattern. And I think it's almost once you've broken across that line, it's very simple to get into other areas, you know, the harder drugs. He has moved on to drugs, and the behaviour is identical. So once you learn how to be dishonest and to conceal and to steal, there's not that much of a difference. Accessibility of all the different illicit substances is very easy with technology these days. There's a chat group for everything. So what we've really battled with is actually just bringing it back. We tried everything to manage his access. Yeah, we wouldn't give him cash. We made him use electronic transactions so we could monitor where his money was going. But again, when you're talking about products that cost between $5 and $10, there's a lot of ways around that. Young people are very resourceful and can manage that quite easily. So it's definitely been really hard, and it was hard on our family. You know, it's it's been a long battle to try and build trust back. And I think for the most part, I believe he has stopped vaping. I know a lot of his friends still do, though, so the temptation is always there. And for us, it's really about finding ways that we can repair and rebuild the relationship and set parameters where we know that we can actually get back to where we were before. But we're not the only family that's struggling with it. Within our group, we'll have hundreds of parents that will post, you know, children as young as six have become addicted to vapes through their friends at school that are battling with this. So when you add in all the effects of puberty and all the changes that young people go through, it can look very much like that. The addiction, the withdrawals, there are kids that will need to wake up in the night and vape, you know, have the vape under their pillow because they can't get through the night without a nicotine hit. And when you compare that to cigarettes where, you know, you'll have a cigarette and half of it will burn away in your hand, you're not necessarily puffing on the whole device. They're getting an awful lot of nicotine, and with the developing brain, all the things that are happening within their brain, it does have a significant impact on their development.
Well, and you know, I know people that vape inside, yep, in their working environments. So it's not like the old smoko break where you had to go outside into the fresh air to smoke a cigarette away from everybody else, which made sense.
Yeah, well, look, most workplaces do treat vaping the same as smoking and do, you know, not do that. But
it's good that they've toughened it up since when I remember working with guys a few years ago that would smoke in radio studios, and it used to make me chuckle a little bit as to the audacity of it. And I think that's the other part of this. Do you feel that with vape, there seems to be this sense of entitlement with vaping that,
yeah,
I'll just vape wherever I want in front of whoever and to hell with any sort of decorum that has probably been imposed now on smokers. Smokers have had to really be almost put in their place, whereas vaping, it feels more like we're nowhere even near that.
No, and that's, I think, a very clever ploy as part of the marketing that's coloured vapes. It doesn't have the same stigma. You know, you'll see someone's vape pen sitting on the counter at a cafe or on their desk at work during the day. It's very normalised, and that's exactly what the tobacco industry has been looking for, to normalise it. You know, they have, you can search the internet and quite quickly find marketing packages from the tobacco company who are looking for what they call poly users of their products. So they want someone who will have a cigarette in the morning, they'll have a vape at smoko time, they'll have a Zin pouch in the evening. They want you to pick up various different products, and they're normalising nicotine as being a product that you would consume the way you would a Diet Coke or, you know, a drink. It doesn't have that same connotation because the perception around the fact that it's mm-hmm. better for you than smoking has taken a lot of that stigma away.
Yeah, it has. And look, let's be honest, I think smokers now get judged. I think society, we judge smokers as some sort of as outcasts. And it's, you're like, there's someone with a cigarette. I don't see many people smoking these days. But vaping, we don't judge vaping the same. Not yet, at least, do we?
Not the same way. And look, it's interesting. If you've been to Australia in the last year or so, it's very different in Australia now. I was in Sydney last year in December, and I think I probably saw, you know, maybe a handful of people vaping in a week. They had bus station billboards saying that every vape you take is a hit to your health, actually cautioning people away from vaping. Whereas here, you'll see the opposite. You'll say, hey, vaping is better for you than smoking, pick up a vape instead. And so it's been really concerning to look at that direction of the country has been taking, and really it begs the question, why? And when you look at where all of the legislation or all of the reform is coming from, you know, the coalition agreement was set up so that New Zealand First were able to have a much stronger influence in health policy. We have Casey Costello from New Zealand First, who has been the minister for regulated products, who has been very, very open about wanting to increase the number of vapes available to people, the alternate options to cigarettes, including the pouches, that she believes are the silver bullet to get to smoke-free 2025. And that's been really concerning for us. We met with her last year and really wanted to understand why she believed that this was the pathway forward, and to understand why there couldn't have been more measures that would stop young people having access to these products, because they seem to have become the collateral damage in the smoke-free 2025 goal, and it's been very concerning.
What is the known link between vaping and poor mental well-being for teenagers?
oh, look, there's a whole area of facets, and it can boil down to simply, you know, they're having to be dishonest, they're having to conceal their behaviour. Once they become addicted, they realise there's a big impact, so they're not having the same quality sleep. Initially, young people believe that it helps them relieve stress, but it's actually been shown to increase stress and anxiety. It doesn't actually relieve these symptoms. But not only that, they're creating a dependency and addiction that will tie them into this behaviour. So there's a lot of guilt that a young person will go through, a lot of shame connected with this addiction once they realise how it's taken hold and what this means. And we saw that with our own son. He was very upset. He knew how we'd feel once we found out that he'd been vaping, and he had tried lozenges and patches to try and quit and hadn't been successful. You know, it's a highly, highly addictive drug, more so than cocaine. And when you think about, again, who was selling these products and their reasoning why, you can understand how easy it is for young people to fall victim to marketing, the ultimate consumers.
Yeah, profit-driven behemoths with little regard for public health.
That's right. And we've known for a very long time that tobacco companies are not honest. You know, there's no trust to be had with tobacco. And all of the vape retailers do tie back to companies like Philip Morris that are switching from their traditional products of tobacco through to these nicotine products that are a heck of a lot cheaper for them to make and far more addictive.
How did your son's behaviour impact you and your family?
It was just distressing, partly to know that your child had been dealing with this for such a long time, you know, that he'd been forced to, he was otherwise, you know, a pretty, well-behaved, nice kid. The fact that he knew he was wrong and stealing from us, hurt both of us. You know, there was a lot of trust eroded and meant that we didn't get to be the parents we wanted to be. You want to treat your kid. You want to give them nice things. You'd love to give them money to go out with friends to see a movie and do fun stuff, but you can't when you're worrying about, will he use this for a movie ticket or to buy a new vape pen? So it really robbed us of the chance to have a good relationship with him when he was struggling at school and trying to make friends. And I think a lot of kids have had that similar pattern where, you know, someone will say, oh, hey, try this. This is great. There'll be a lot of social peer pressure around these products. You know, the kids that don't have a path will feel like they're, you know, not, keeping up with the cool kids. And so for us, it was a real struggle that we knew that there was two boys that had given it to him that he was trying to make friends with. And that was what got him into it to begin with. And now even when he hangs out with the same different friends that he has who also vape, you know, is that peer. If he has to basically leave his peer group now if he wants to try and quit, because otherwise you're around it all the time. So it has, it's right in his face. It's really hard. And if you're trying to drinking, if all your mates are having a beer, that temptation is right there under your nose, right? So, for a young person who hasn't got the life skills and the experience to know how to handle these situations, that's really challenging. Academically, we see kids that suffer because they haven't got the concentration span. They can't get through a whole lesson at school. You know, there was a huge number of kids that were stood down because they were caught vaping. So they're missing out on valuable school time. It's damaged their reputation at school. You know, all of these will have significant flow-on effects within their peer group and for their academic performance as well.
Anna, with the work that you've done with schools, do you feel like you're making any progress? Are you making any headway, inroads?
Look, not really. There are a few programs that will touch on this in schools now, but only a very small proportion. We did try and reach out to schools, but there's a lot of hesitancy there because schools are very cautious about not taking on the responsibility of having to manage this. It's very, very hard. You know, schools can't ask kids to open their school bags and search them for a vape. There's not very much that a school can do. So what we've really tried to do is to educate parents to look out for the signs that your child might be vaping. You do see changes in behaviour. Children will often drink a lot more water. They'll have a scratchy throat. There'll be a bit of a dry cough. You'll see irritability and grumpiness. And really, you know, keeping an eye on where their money might be going. If they have pocket money, where is the money going? And that's why we would really encourage parents who, you know, are starting to wonder about their children's behaviour from that intermediate through to high school age to really sit down and have an honest conversation with them. I've had parents say, look, I'm scared to talk to this about with my young person, my teenager. I don't want to give them ideas. I don't want to put the thought into their head, but how do I warn them about the risks from vaping? And that is a real challenge. And you'll see there's not a lot of resource out there to help young people. All of the smoke-free quit services that you can call to quit smoking until very recently wouldn't support young people who were addicted to vaping. It was only for those that were addicted to cigarettes. Now, they've only just recently extended that to talk about vaping, but all they can really offer is breathing exercises and distractions. There's no prescribable products that they can give to young people to help them wean themselves off. So that's part of the challenge as well.
And it's not like as a parent, you could probably sit down and say, hey, look, let's have a vape together. Let's do this in a supervised environment.
No,
that's not a great strategy.
And again, there probably are parents that have tried that in desperation because they don't want their kids to have to carry this on their own. And dealing with nicotine withdrawals is extremely difficult. You know, the internet is full of support groups for adults that are desperately trying to quit vaping. And I often follow those to see what's going on and to how difficult it is. And you'll see people in their 20s and 30s that just feel absolutely rotten for weeks when they try and quit. And it's a real battle. And you think, how much harder would that be for someone who's, you know, 12 to 16 years old, who can't even talk to their parents about what they're going through in the midst of a really challenging time of their life anyway.
So just to wrap this up, what you are fighting for is not necessarily a ban on these products in New Zealand. It's a targeted real lockdown on having our young kids, young teenagers with access to these products.
That's right. We really need to reduce the supply. We don't need as many stores as what we have. We don't need all the bright marketing, the colours and the flavours. If you were genuinely a smoker who wanted to quit smoking by using vapes, you could probably get away with 10 different flavours. That would be enough. You don't need to have the prolific options of supermarkets, dairies, gas stations, all these other stores in order to be able to buy them. And when stores do sell them to young people, there needs to be consequences, because you have to think there must be hundreds of stores now that would have sold to young people that have been getting away with it for the last 3 or 4 years completely scot-free, who have been profiting from selling these products to kids. So that's where I think we really need to reinvest in the enforcement aspect, an area that's often neglected when it comes to enforcement of risk, you know, health-related goods, and have there be consequences for them.
Have you thought to involve or go to Matt Ducey, Minister of Mental Health?
Well, we've gone to every single Minister of Cabinet. We've written to all of them. Like I said, we met with Casey Costello. We have literally knocked on every single door, and we simply just get back referred to Casey Costello. So that's why we're really hoping, that with all of the other challenges that I guess the parties are facing, that parents who are struggling with vaping and products make this an election issue for the next election. I think had we had a different health minister, we would have been able to probably have more chance of that if it hadn't been a coalition agreed outcome. And so what we're really pushing is for this to not go away quietly. There was a lot of noise, you know, up until the election and shortly after, but it has gone fairly quiet. We're involved in the Smoke-Free Advisory Committee, so we'll be contributing our opinions and feedback to that around what we think are the appropriate measures to actually protect people from vaping and leave it there as an option for those that really need it, whether that's through a prescription like you would get for other nicotine, withdrawal products like patches and lozenges that do come from pharmaceutical companies rather than from the tobacco industry. You know, you'd never get a cure from diabetes from Willy Wonka. Just simply doesn't work that way. So, you know, something that just needs to be thought about in a different way. And unless you can put in meaningful enforcement and controls that actually protect people from the availability of it, it's only going to become a bigger issue.
Yeah, great analogy on the Wonka and the diabetes. Totally got me on that one. You've got an amazing depth of knowledge on this topic, Anna. Is that how you set out to become someone with a vast knowledge on this problem? Is it just part of the learning for you over this period, given that you've been involved in it?
It has just been a learning, and look, it's been quite distressing. I would never have considered myself someone that wanted to get political. I was quite happy living my ordinary life in Christchurch and not getting involved in any of this. But I guess for me, it became an issue that I just couldn't walk past. And the more I read, the more I learned, the more I spoke to parents and families and medical professionals who were really struggling with this issue, the kind of more incensed I got, and the more I just had to keep going. So, you know, I personally struggle. I'm quite a shy, introverted person myself, but when it get me angry enough as a mother, you know, we're out there, we'll do anything to protect our kids. And I guess that's what's gotten me here, is I want to protect my kids and all the other kids that need someone to fight for them on this issue.
It's hard to ignore mum's groups. It was mum's groups that got rid of lead out of paint.
Yeah, that's right.
So, mum's groups are powerful.
Yeah, so that's kind of what got me into it and why we've been fighting so hard.
What does your son think of your advocacy?
Well, he has struggled with it, obviously. You know, there's been times where he's seen my picture in the paper and his mates have put it into the Snapchat group and he's gotten some stick, and it has been really hard for him. Look, I hope one day he'll understand that I'm doing it for him and it's because I love him that I'm fighting so hard. But it certainly has added to the challenge of our relationship, right? And I've had to say to him, look, I will try and protect you from this however I can, but this is me being your mum trying to protect you from a bigger problem than just your mates giving you a bit of a hard time. Because I saw your mum on the news, boy, she's making it harder for your friends to get their vapes.
Jeez, man, I've got young kids. They're not teenagers yet, and my partner and I, we talk about the things that we have to be vigilant about. Processed food and sugar is probably the number one for us. Yep. Technology and phones was probably be number two. And I'm just thinking, man, it's so hard now for parents to protect developing, growing brains from these addictive behaviours. On these companies who don't give a shit about any of that stuff.
That's right.
It feels like it's rigged against us as parents now, doesn't it?
It is. And look, the fact that, I guess that's where I've kind of heard a lot of parents being able to say, look, to their kids, there are companies that want to profit from your health getting worse. You know, they know what they're selling is going to hurt you. They don't care. They want your money anyway. And finding a way through, finding the logic that will resonate with the young person, that's half of the struggle. And that's one of the avenues that parents will take to try and explain it. I know there are mothers that will drive past vape stores in the car with their kids and say, look how many stores there are. Look at how all of these stores are not selling anything that's going to benefit you. In fact, they're selling products that are going to make your life harder and worse. And, you know, again, it's very easy to read through some of these support groups for those that are looking to quit vaping, and to hear the anguish that adults are going through and trying to quit because they know the harm, they're feeling the physical effects of what it's doing to their lungs and to their mental state, but they still struggle and find it incredibly hard to quit. All you can really do is warn your kids about the risks and what might happen from what we know now, and then hopefully, you know, once the further evidence comes in, we can give more detail, but really it's in the interim, protecting them from that opportunity.
Anna, thank you so much for your time and for the information and the education. What we've been doing, Take It From Us, now for over 3 years. And we were talking amongst ourselves recently about all of the issues that we've covered in the time. And the one glaring omission to this point has been vaping. Mm. And you're scaring the hell out of me, but I value it because I need to hear it as a parent. And please keep up the great advocacy work. You guys are doing as best as you can. With a dud hand, let's be honest.
Well, look, if nothing else, I hope that hearing about it now while your kids are still young, it buys you time, it buys you an opportunity to actually interact with them before it's too late and before they're addicted. And that's the advantage with talking about this with other parents now. You need that insight to know what the risks are. A lot of us got caught blindsided by it. So that's really what we want to avoid for everybody else.
Anna Stewart from Vape Free Kids NZ. Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Take It From Us is produced by Karen Murphy, and I am your host, Kent Johns. Please get in touch with us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
You've been listening to Take It From Us with host Kent Johns, produced by Karen Murphy, executive producer Andrew Dewhurst, made with the real stories and voices from our community. And for that, we thank you. For more information on anything you've heard on today's show, or for direction on where to seek further advice or assistance, visit our Facebook page, Take It From Us.
World of Radio on planetaudio.org.nz.
You can hear our program of the Ageless Wisdom Teachings brought to you by the Auckland Transmission Group on Friday mornings at 9:15. We introduce the world teacher Maitreya and topics chosen from Share International magazine. Keep yourself up to date with the emergence and how it's working out in the modern world. Friday morning at 9:15 on Planet FM 104.6.
Senior Focus is a reflective radio program designed for those 50 plus, where you can listen to a